New revelations about the scope of America's National Security Agency's surveillance program continued this week with reports from journalist Glenn Greenwald, working with documents provided by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, detailing U.S. surveillance of phone communications of millions of European citizens and leaders, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Earlier revelations included information that the NSA had long monitored phone data in Brazil, France, Mexico, and more recently Spain. News reports about the NSA spy program targeting U.S. allies came the same week that thousands gathered in Washington, D.C. for a protest march and rally in opposition to Dragnet surveillance. On October 26, a diverse left-right coalition of groups, organized under the banner of Stop Watching Us, called on Congress to investigate the full extent of NSA spy programs and to institute reforms to protect citizens' privacy rights. Your reporter spoke with Paul Jorgensen, assistant professor of political science at the University of Texas Pan American, who discusses a new study he co-wrote with Thomas Ferguson, professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts Boston, and UMass statistician Jai Chen, titled Who Buys the Spies? The Hidden Corporate Cash Behind America's Out-of-Control National Surveillance State. Here, Professor Jorgensen talks about the report and the concern that campaign contributions injected into the U.S. political system by companies profiting from surveillance contracts have expanded in institutionalized, unaccountable government spying.
We're engaged in a long-term project about accumulating and redoing, reassessing, and hopefully reinvigorating the study of campaign finance. And so this is just a small piece where we look at 2012 and we try to aggregate the money in an important way that hasn't been completely done before by combining two different agencies that collect the data. And we lump it together in terms of what we call an investing unit. So taking all the individuals, the executives, the PACs, the super PACs, and even the firm itself that can give cash in very particular ways, trying to group all that together, and in order to make sense of these different industries and the party fault lines that these industries revolve around. And so, our paper says lots of different things, but we start off with just understanding the business community and break it down between big business and the rest. And then when we actually apply real economic data in terms of industry codes and especially of the Fortune 350 or the Forbes 400 billionaires, we start to see splits develop between different industries. For example, Romney and mainline Republicans, as well as Tea Party members, get a lot of money from, as you'd expect, oil, glass, manufacturing, chemical plants, tobacco, and that can explain the climate change debate pretty well. But also this new surveillance state that is now emerging as a result of lots of different whistleblowers and newspaper coverage. That itself, with the study of political money, may not be that surprising that the Democrats largely support that new military apparatus.
Now, if you could summarize for us your conclusions in terms of the takeaway here was the fact that you have the Obama administration pushing forward with expanding and institutionalizing the surveillance state with a lot of corporate backers from software makers and companies that host websites and the like. Maybe you could summarize that for us.
Oh, sure. Well, conventional wisdom and actually history shows a lot of these companies and their executives would be more likely to be Republicans in some ways, and they still do give a lot to the Republican Party. And so what our takeaway from looking at this industry is Obama did very, very well, in fact, maybe unusually well, with these industries, and that itself can tell you about policy changes now and in the future, or the likelihood of this being reversed in the future is not very high, unless the protests and voters are mobilized on this issue. That's a large takeaway, is that this is an emerging split between the Democrats and Republicans, and as it stands now, you might see some silence on this issue, given the amount of cash that goes to both sides.
Professor Jorgensen, President Eisenhower, when he left office, made a very famous farewell speech where he warned the country about the development of the military-industrial complex, speaking about it in terms of its threat to democracy and undermining our political institutions. What kind of parallels can you make with what's developed in recent years with the national surveillance state and maybe along the same lines of what President Eisenhower warned the country about?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I mean, the parallels are all there. There's too many to count. And so if we go back and we dig through that speech, Eisenhower has something pressing to say about the military-industrial complex. In general, it's the merger between the defense industry and the economy. But in terms of its influence on democracy, it's the rise of a technocratic state in the realm of foreign policy. And we have technocratic decisions being made that are largely done in secret and then are not conveyed well to the public. And so it's very hard for the public to understand, or, you know, anybody to understand what actually is the level of communication between these private companies and the state. So what we see now is, you know, the military-industrial complex, and we should use it, call it by its name, is now taking a different shape. And the shape it's taking is with these high-tech companies. And the thrust of our argument is that when you have this rise of a new industry, they become very important in the realm of party conflict. And this looks an awful lot like what a political scientist would call clientelism, which is simply just interest group politics meant to get favors, and you're trying to keep the issue out of the public realm. And the use of technocratic language in this case, you can find the merger between the economy and the state. You can find the reliance of employment in this country on defense. And so you have a lot of U.S. citizens employed in the defense industry in one way or another. And now you have a growth of very highly educated people in the tech industry that are being used for defense. And so the symbol of the military-industrial complex is very important to understand in all its dimensions, because it's still alive and well.
That was Paul Jorgensen, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Texas Pan American. Read the Who Buys the Spies report that Professor Jorgensen co-wrote by following links on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.